All right. Good afternoon, everyone. I'll call the order to meet the meeting to order, and we're actually at on our normal day of the week for a meeting. So we've got the minutes from August 19th. They are attached. Hopefully, you've had a chance to see those.
Hello, Sam. This is Doug, and I would move the adoption of those minutes.
Okay. I'll second that. This is Brad. Is there any discussion regarding the minutes? Then all in favor say aye, please.
Aye.
I heard one aye.
This is Matt. I'll abstain.
Okay. And this is Brad. I'll say aye. So we'll approve the minutes. Then was there a particular issue, Matt, or just...
I didn't read every word, but there's a little bit, it's a little longer than I'd like it to be, but no big deal.
All right. Then we do have some, quite a few loans again this month.
Yeah, this is Doug. It looks good. There's 16 loans.
$14 million.
That's good news.
Tom, have these been reviewed for proper public purpose?
Yes, they have.
Okay.
And I'll move adoption of 14 loans.
You mean 16? Okay, I'll second that. Any discussion on the loans?
The only comment I would make, historically, it looks like most of them are municipalities and not much school. That's always kind of troubled us occasionally, but it is what...
I guess we're still making interest for the schools, so that we'll get it one way or another. Okay, all in favor of approval of these 16 loans?
Doug?
Oh, this is Matt. I'll say aye.
And I'll say aye. So we have unanimously approved the 16 loans there. On to old business. This is a little bit meatier agenda item to discuss the report on Common School Fund revenue and unclaimed property. And I think we put this off previously from a prior meeting because there hadn't been enough notice to give everyone a chance to read through the attachments. Am I remembering this on the right issue?
Correct. I looked over the information we got from the staff and assured me that the unclaimed property revenue has dropped off in a couple of areas. So I made a motion and we decided among ourselves, and I was okay with that we shouldn't make the motion until the next meeting. So now we have the same information, and now to make the motion that I proposed last time, and it's in the agenda. I won't read it unless someone wants me to. So I may...
That's some crazy noises going on here now.
Yeah, that's really loud. I don't think it's on my end. I'm in a room without any problem.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, I suppose maybe, this is Doug. Maybe I should speak to the motion briefly.
Yeah, would you please?
Having been around for many years, the unclaimed property is an important source for our projects. And when I saw climbing, and I thought that it would be very worthwhile for us to see analysis of where this is coming from and what is happening. So I think it would be very useful for the commissioners, all three of us, to have this Legislative Reference Bureau audit so we can see exactly what is happening news and the projections in the future. And that's why I made this motion, which I hope you will support.
Well, I'll second the motion for purposes of discussion here, and because I'd like to, I have some questions. So, what would be involved in the Bureau conducting this analysis for us?
Well, again, I'm not an expert at this, but having been in the, for some time, it's common for someone, a legislator, or in this case, the board, to request an audit of some particular part of the government to see exactly what's going on, get the superficial totals. But this would give us a chance to see behind rules exactly with our revenues into the unclaimed property. List of Audit Bureau staff, they regularly do this time for different agencies.
Tom, is there some information we might know already about what's causing fluctuations?
We know some things have happened over the course of time. One of the things that drove unclaimed property up was this demutualization of insurance companies and savings and loans. When a company went from a mutual company, it was owned by the policyholders or the account holders, and when it demutualizes, they issue stock to those account holders or to those policyholders. But sometimes they have no idea where those people are anymore. And so what happens is in that demutualization process, there's a lot of unclaimed property generated. And so there was a number of those that went on, and that drove the amount of unclaimed property up. The things that have happened recently is the program was transferred from the state treasurer's office to the Department of Revenue. We had reached an MOU, a memorandum of understanding, with the Department of Revenue as to how they would calculate the amount that they retained for their expenses and projected claims and how much they would transfer to us. This past year, they deviated from that formula, and on Friday was the first glimpse that we got of how they deviated. They determined that they would need, they thought, another $23 million retained for potential claims over the coming year. They increased their expenses by about $290,000 from last year to this year as well, and there wasn't any explanation as to what those additional expenses went for.
So I have some question as to what degree is this our business to have an audit of this process?
Hey, Brad, this is Matt. The only question I have is, you know, legislative audit bureau obviously is run by the legislature, and, you know, I mean, in theory, any person on the state can request it, agencies can, but my understanding is the two co-chairs, that would be Representative Kirkman and then Senator Coles, you know, they kind of lead that committee, and legislators at the committee often bring it to the, you know, co-chairs, and that's kind of the process that moves the audit bureau forward. I think if anything, it would make sense for maybe the Secretary of State to send a letter to the co-chairs himself. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big fan right now of myself voting for something to ask Audit Bureau to do something, you know, that, you know, I might not know everything in it or agree with everything in it, so.
Well, this is Doug. In regard to the second, I think it's sort of standard procedure. It's a little different because we're not, that isn't make any difference as far as whether they're able to request. As far as what Brad, I think it really is our concern because this revenue allows us to increase our and it's increased greatly over the years. I've always been a little concerned about Department of charges, and I'd like to know more details about that. And this would allow us to do that, and also more about what some of the changes have been. I think it's just a very useful tool for us to have.
I have a terrible connection. I don't know about the rest of you guys.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Okay,
it was difficult to hear you, Doug.
Yeah, I'm okay. I can hear you.
Well, nobody's I mean, this is mad. I guess all I'd say is I don't know why, if the Secretary of State has concerns, he can't first start with the committee members himself. I mean, I don't know why the three of us have to vote on doing something. There's no guarantee that the committee is going to do anything we ask them to do anyway, so.
Well, yeah, if the Legislative Audit Bureau has some questions, back to us and we can our question, but I think I made the motion quite clear that it was a very positive way. They always have in other cases where requests have been made for them to examine details of the functioning agency.
Doug, is there some concern that money's not going where it belongs, or that it's sitting in a fund somewhere? What might be?
Well, if you look at the information that the staff sent us for the last meeting, in a couple of areas, the unappropriated revenue to us and therefore to the schools has dropped off, and I think it would behoove us to know why that is, because we have a fiduciary responsibility to get this unclaimed property and then for the benefit of the schools, drops off. Why? To me, this motion has no downside, and the upside is we may learn something about this that would be to us.
Well, I don't know that there's no reason we can't have our staff at the BCPL start working with those two agencies, Commissioner of Insurance and the Unclaimed Property Program, and them trying to get more information over the next few weeks or months themselves. Audit Bureau does not have to necessarily be involved here. I mean, if we find some concerns and there's some glaring problem, maybe we go that route. I don't know, but I'm not that interested in voting in favor of this. I don't think it's that big of a deal either way, but, you know, I'm not really, I don't care to, I mean, I don't want to ask the Legislative Audit Bureau to do something that we should first probably reach out to the actual members of the Audit Bureau first.
Tom, some degree that's happened, right, Tom, or no?
We had contacted the Commissioner of Insurance office, and we hadn't gotten any response there. We had gotten some limited information from Department of Revenue, and in fact, I think that's what triggered the report that we received on Friday.
To me, this is a way of getting unbiased information, which I think is what is critical for us to do our jobs.
You know, I'm gonna table this. This is new to me. I want to explore more about what the Bureau does and how common this is for an agency in state government to ask for an audit like this. And it just, you know, asking for an audit kind of implies, and maybe it's the prosecutor in me, you ask for an audit, it implies that you think something is fishy, and it may not be that. It may be that things change. Economy.
That's exactly right. I mean, I wouldn't use the word fishy because I don't propose to know enough to say that, but I'm suspicious that something is happening that's caused this revenue to go down. It may be the Department of Revenue. It may be the Insurance Commission. It may be the State Treasurer's Office. All these agencies are involved, and we don't have the wherewithal to find out exactly what the detail is. The reason the Audit Bureau has the power to exactly learn the truth, and I'd like to know the truth.
Okay.
But not to make a motion. I urge you not to make a motion to table this.
I'm gonna work with the executive secretary, and then maybe with some of my staff to see if maybe we can find some answers. It feels heavy-handed to have statewide constitutional officers asking for an audit of an agency. I feel like there's a headline that will imply something that's not necessarily the case. You know?
I know a few people at Audit Bureau there that staff the committees, that kind of stuff. One of the things that we should do is work more with the agencies themselves, whether it's the revenue or commissioner of insurance, and just try to get more of on our own, having staff maybe devote some more time to it. I understand sometimes they don't get back right away, but you know, I don't think we have to have these answers in the next 4 days, but I'm more leaning where the attorney general is. I think, you know, if we ask for an audit, it's like implying that there's a problem for sure.
I'm concerned about that appearance when we don't have any reason to say that is the case. So at this point, we can either table the motion or I'm going to vote against it, and I'll try to find some of the answers with the executive secretary and with my staff.
I mean, procedurally, I'm not sure where you're headed. Are you going to make a motion to table?
I'll make a motion to table it.
I'll second that.
Well, in response to that motion, I will be quite candid and go on the record saying that I think we're ducking our responsibility. So I'm not very concerned that the Department of Revenue $3 million a year out of the pockets of our school children. I don't think that's legitimate. I don't think that unclaimed property money is going to the revenue. I think it's going into our bank account so we can use it for the schools. And that's part of the reason why I made this motion. And I want to have that on the record.
Okay. I don't think we've exhausted the less dramatic ways to find the answers. I think asking for an audit just to me sounds almost accusatory, and I don't want to be in that position right now when I think we can probably get this another way. So that motion carries.
I don't think so, but we'll find out the bad ones.
Okay.
We have a motion.
Should we vote on that quick?
So on the motion to table, I vote aye.
I'm Matt, aye.
I vote no.
Okay. Item 5, just kind of checking tabs on the progress in candidates for the executive secretary position. I have received at this point one cover letter and resume, and that's from Tom. It appears that perhaps, Matt, you've received something from another candidate.
Not necessarily received something. I'll make sure to forward it to the staff and then have him, because I don't think I can directly email you myself. Supposedly, I don't know, but I'll have the candidate I know, Julian, send me something, then I'll forward it to the staff to forward it to you all. Because I haven't received anything from Tom. I was just wondering if there's other staff at the BCPL, Rich, other people interested, or any other names, maybe the Secretary of State's heard. I don't know. No, I didn't really want to vote on anything or think about it. I just was wondering if there's any other names out there.
Yeah, those are the only two names, and just on just one of those, I've received some actual information. I don't want to say with 100% certainty, but I thought the process we agreed on was that if someone was interested in applying for the position, they should send a cover letter and resume to my attention. But I think if they get it to any of the three of us, that's fine. We'll get them all where they need to be. Just want to make tabs. Doug, have you received anything from any potential candidates? Uh-oh. Doug?
I got one email from one person, and I basically recommended he send information to Brad.
Okay.
Well, this is Matt. I kind of loosely recall that. I think when we were discussing it, I was, you know, in the vehicle. I can't really remember that process, but okay, I'll forward something to have them forward it to the Attorney General then.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll monitor a little bit longer here, and we'll circle. I guess we can keep it as a ongoing agenda item for the next couple meetings until we're confident we've got what we need to start working on this. Okay. Then we have the next thing is to discuss some and vote on some out-of-state travel. And this would relate to, and I'll let Tom explain a little bit about what he's proposing here, going to an investment conference.
Um, Charles Schwab organizes a conference every year for money managers where they bring in financial experts on a wide variety of topics. And attendance is by invitation only. And as we custody our bonds with Schwab, we've been invited to attend this conference. Rich and I have attended for several years, and I found the presentations to be very insightful, and the presenters are very approachable. It's great to be able to get a direct answer to direct questions on investments and the economy. I believe it's even more important now that we are transitioning to the prudent investor standard. The cost of the conference is $999 during their early registration time. After that, it jumps to $1,150. The conference is being held in Boston. It's for 4 days in November. So the cost of the conference would be close to $1,000 for the registration, and then hotel, airfare, and travel expenses.
You're proposing both you and Rich attend?
Yes, please.
Well, this is Matt. Just real briefly, obviously you guys know where I come down on this. I would prefer when we have things on our agenda item, didn't have to necessarily be on the agenda, but maybe forwarded to us individually. I don't have any specifics other than what you just told me this second. So that's the first I'm hearing of it. And I'm always a believer in, I don't know why two people need to go and one could go, but the vote, obviously the vote can be whatever, but I don't support it. So
there's a good reason why two people should go is because there are so many different sessions going on simultaneously that one person cannot be in multiple places at the same time. And so what Rich and I do is we sit down at the beginning and parse out who's going to go to what at what time.
And four people under that logic, but, I mean, no reason to discuss it. I mean, I just don't support it. So, but whoever wants to vote, I'm fine with it.
All right, I'll move that. I'll make the motion that Rich and Tom be funded to attend this conference.
This is Doug. I'll second that. And again, as we discussed several meetings ago, when I requested to go to a meeting, which was denied, these kind of interactions between our staff, commissioners. And I'm not asking to go to this conference. I think this is a very specific conference that's related to expertise. But there are other conferences which will come up in the future that I think I would like to see, and I think they are useful. So given that philosophy, I'll second Brad's motion.
Okay. I think it's a particularly important time as we are entering into a new way of, or new procedures and structure for our investments. I think it's an important time to have our staff be fully informed. It's a modest expense that I think we have great potential to make up in the way of improved investment decisions. So I'll call for the vote. I vote in favor.
I vote yes.
Ms. Matt, I'll vote no.
Okay. Then it is approved. Not unanimously, but it is approved. Any future agenda items anyone wants to present at this point?
I guess I would like to request sort of I'm not quite sure how to work an agenda item to, as a follow-up to, we learned about reclaimed property revenues. We tabled, so that motion is still on the table. I'm not asking that it be, that we have it on the agenda. We can learn what Brad and his staff has found out, and whether we should actually proceed with the motion or not.
Okay, let's put it on the agenda for a discussion again at the next meeting. I agree. I've got the legal conclusions that came from some research that a member of my staff did, and also some work that was done by legislative council. So I've got those two legal conclusion documents that we'll distribute around for the next meeting, and I propose putting that on to have further discussion. This dealt with whether we can engage in any kind of revenue sharing with counties or other entities.
Oh, yeah, I asked that.
Okay. Any other things?
This is Matt. I have none.
Okay. Tom, do you have a report that, in addition to what we've already talked about?
You bet. I'll keep it short.
Okay. We're doing well for us.
As all the commissioners noticed, you know, loan demand is at a high level, but I don't think you realize how high. Summer is traditionally a slower time for us. Last year at this time, we had approximately $15 million in loans in the pipeline. This year, we're at approximately $75. So that is a huge difference. At this time, it's unknown whether this is a momentary surge in demand, whether it's a timing change, whether, you know, communities decided to get their applications going earlier in the summer as opposed to waiting until the fall, or if what we're seeing is a fundamental increase in loan demand. The fact is, staff have been out on the rubber chicken circuit speaking quite a bit over the past year, and perhaps those speaking engagements have paid off. So at this point in time, we're still monitoring the situation, trying to get a better handle on whether this is a permanent increase or if this is just situational.
It doesn't pose any, the increase doesn't pose any problems for it, does it, for us, does it?
Not at this time, but if it does continue at this pace, it does start impacting the portfolio itself, how it's managed. I mean, it's hard to imagine it continuing at this pace, but I think, Rich, what do you say? If we went at this pace, it would be about $300 million in loans this year?
Yeah, a little bit over that, yeah.
So.
Well, hey, Tom, this is Matt. One of the things that I think, I don't want to add to that agenda item specifically, and I'd almost wonder if we could do, you know, I don't know if we could do it in a closed session or we could just individually meet with individual staff so they could be one-on-one meetings with staff. But, I mean, I think I'd like to, at one point down the road, look at the loans, which type of loans we do. I mean, obviously, we could run out of money. I mean, if, as what they're saying, if we had some, you know, a huge loan demand, we could run out of money. You know, I mean, is there a priority in getting loans? I mean, I see those little loans we do for, like, fire trucks and stuff as probably being the most important because they're for these little townships that really rely on us for those quick loans. And then there's other loans that are much larger that are, you know, counties or cities taking the money. And I don't have a problem necessarily right now giving them the loans, but, you know, if it came push to shove down the road, we'd have to maybe determine, you know, which priority. And
right.
And we got to also look at our portfolio. You know, I mean, I know we give the trust fund loan program and I support it. I have no problem with it, but we obviously have a duty to make money for our beneficiaries. And if there are other investments that might make more money, maybe we have to raise rates, look at rate changes. I mean, there's just a lot of things moving here, so.
Yeah.
Well, Doug.
Go ahead.
My perspective is, historically, there have been times when we had limit the amount of a loan if there was a lot of demand and have enough revenue, enough in the bank. Sometimes we increase interest rates to affect the loan demand. And then third, we should remember, at least I believe we should remember, speaking for myself, that our obligation is to these municipalities and these schools. So even if we decided we could buy a bunch of bonds and make more money, I think if the demand for loans is there, I believe that is our first responsibility historically and maybe even constitutionally.
Well, this is Matt. I mean, I don't disagree with the concept, but we actually don't have, I don't think, to counties or municipalities. We give our money to our beneficiaries, which are the school children. And even if we give a loan to the school district, that doesn't it's only helping necessarily one school district, not the whole spectrum of every student statewide. And so there's a lot of moving parts here. And
I think we're just going to have to look at this. I mean, if at some point at the demand side, I would imagine the rates could go up a little bit.
Yeah. The things that the commissioners have brought up are all things that the staff takes into account on a daily basis. The thing that's unusual about the demand this time is it's so broad-based. In past times, there have been situations where there have been borrowers that came looking for big chunks of money at a time. La Crosse County may have been looking for $30 million or Verona looking for $25 or something. That's not the situation that we have now. What we have is a broad base of loan demand. I don't believe that we've had one over $10 million in this time. One. I think we had one. So that when we talk about putting limits on the loans, yes, that's something that the board has traditionally done when we started running low on funds to finance loans. So yes, we look at setting loan limits. We look at interest rates. I think for the loan program, you always want to keep your rates in a range that's at least competitive. If you move your rates to a point where you're no longer competitive with the market, there is the reputational risk that municipalities or school districts would look at you and think that, well, there's times that they're not even in the range. So that's one thing you have to keep in mind. But
if we got to a point where we had so many loan requests that we couldn't fill them, are we authorized to prioritize them and pick which ones we think are a better use of the money versus others?
The way we've done that in the past was to put a limit, and then people could more than $1 million or something like that.
Okay.
The legislature had also actually done a prioritization at one point, and that was about 30 years ago, I believe. They prioritized school loans over municipality loans. But I believe that was back approximately 85 to 90 or somewhere in that range.
Hey, Tom.
Go
ahead, Doug.
I have a question that may relate to this topic. What about the bonding for the stadium now that are they going to become for a big chunk of money?
Good question. Right now, we still have no new news on the Bucks financing. We got a call from DOA Capital Finance last week telling us that they will have a better idea soon as to what the actual structure of the debt offerings to finance the Bucks Arena will be. And when we get that information, we'll make sure to pass it along to the board.
Thank you.
Okay. Matt, did you have a comment there, too?
No, we can move on. I'm ready to adjourn.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the order, Tom?
A couple quick things. We talked briefly a while ago about moving some of our short-term money from the State Investment Fund to American Deposit Management. State Investment Fund is currently paying 0.0001%. American Deposit Management breaks the deposits into smaller pieces and puts them into savings accounts. And they're offering 25 basis points or 2,500. So we are finishing up our due diligence, and I think we'll be ready to bring a proposal to the board at the next meeting.
Great.
We've now received payment on all three of the land parcels that were offered by sealed bid earlier this year. I prepared the land patents, and they're awaiting the AG's signature, and I'll be circulating them to the other commissioners so we can close those sales soon. I will be contacting each of your respective offices soon regarding an open records request we received on emails related to climate change and global warming. Finally, our talks on the road continue. I spoke to the Sauk County unit meeting of the Wisconsin Towns Association. Representative Ed Brooks was there. It was a nice event. We're excited to hear about our program, and I got a call shortly afterwards from one of the town chairmen, and I expect to hear more. And finally, I'll be speaking to CoLand on September 11th. That's the Council on Library and Network Development in Milwaukee. So that's my report.
Okay. Thank you,
Tom. Tom, this is Doug. your report led me to a question. Moving the money to this American blah blah pays 0.25, which is twice what we're getting now. Is that money as liquid, given the fact that we may have a shortage of funds in the future?
Excellent question. The answer is almost as liquid. Money sitting in the state investment fund can be pulled out the next day. Money sitting in the American Deposit Management account, in essence, it's a two-day turnaround. If we ask for the money by Tuesday, we'll get it on Wednesday. If we ask for it by Thursday, we'll get it on Friday. So it is very liquid, but there is another additional day turnaround on getting the money out.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. All right, then. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All in favor, hang up.
All right, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, Doug.